many of you are ready for judging prophecy? God bless you all. Listen, we're going to go over some general concepts of judging prophecy. We've had a lot of questions about it. We're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I do not know, nor do I have a corner on absolute truth. However, these are just general guidelines. Can you say general guidelines? Okay. But it's important because we all have a part to play in how Holy Spirit is speaking to us. It is so important because the prophetic movement is very, very new. I like to go back to the 1988 place where many prophets have said it was birthed then with at a Vineyard conference with John Wimber, and he was highlighting five particular prophets, James Gall, at that time Jim Gall, and John Paul Jackson, and Paul Kane, and two others. Jacqueline will remember who they are, but I have them written down somewhere. The point is that prophets, active functioning prophets, were being recognized and introduced to the body of Christ at that time. From that point on, you started to see books about prophets more prolific in the bookstores. The prophetic movement was really birthed globally at that time. Now, Patricia King was reminding me earlier today, not me personally, but on one of her videos, that actually goes back to even before that. In the 60s, you saw prophecy flowing, but there wasn't honestly a whole lot of teaching. Kenneth Hagin, some of the others were teaching on the office of a prophet, but by and large, it was not as globally accepted as it was from about 1988 on. And so it's a relatively young movement. What we found out for those of us that are kind of have a listening ear to a lot of different voices in a lot of different places, I'm finding out that now if you just listen to one stream in the body of Christ, we're all doing great. Yay, we got this. But if you listen to your brothers and sisters around the world, they're very concerned about the maturity of the prophetic movement in America specifically, and even many, many millions and millions of Christians and actually other prophets globally and especially here in America are concerned because it's a time for a tweaking. It's a time for reanalyzing and discerning. It's not a bad thing. This is not a bad thing. This is kind of a correction, or if nothing else, if it's not a correction, it's at least a reappraisal. You know, how you reappraise things and you come up with the same thing that you started with? That's okay. So we're not throwing out the baby with the bathwater, but we are kind of acknowledging that there are concerns. Depending on who you listen to, there's more concerns than other people. As the body of Christ moving forward, because the hand cannot say to the feet, we have no need of you. You know, the arm can't say to the leg, I don't need you guys. I'm going forward without you. That's just not kingdom. Okay. And so I'm at a place where I felt like God wanted me to really come back to the prophetic forum and really basically teach the basics and kind of we can build from that. Okay, let's go forward with that. Judging prophecy. Prophecy is to be judged or weighed by others. And in fact, now listen, I'm going to ask you, I have done so many hours and hours and hours of research, of study, of seeking the Lord as a prophetic equipper. I'm encouraging you, please get a piece of paper, get a pencil. If you want to record this, please write down these notes and go back over them between you and the Lord. And it is totally okay if you're like, what are you talking about, Jeannie? Everything's the best it's ever been. That's okay too. But let's at least reevaluate scripture, okay? So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:29, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. Now, that word judge is not the word, it is a very broad word. It doesn't mean you're guilty, throw them in jail, or you're condemned, or we criticize you. It means to discern, okay? So this is what we're going to do in this particular series. When we talk about judge, we're talking about specifically discernment. Now, it says in 1 Corinthians 14:29, let two or three prophets speak. Now, we're talking about a church service. Sometime when we have more time, we're going to go through all of 1 Corinthians 14. You can go back over it yourself. It talks about publicly speaking in tongues in a church service. It talks about don't do it unless you have somebody to interpret it, or if you're going to interpret it yourself, great. But don't just speak in tongues in a church service unless you've got somebody that can interpret it. And I'm talking about publicly speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about when you get together, when you're with your brothers and sisters and you're all praying in tongues. That's not what I'm talking about. Or you're worshiping in tongues in unison, like waves of a sea. That's not what this is talking about. 1 Corinthians 14, when it says, don't just speak in tongues publicly, it's talking about those people that stand up in church and kind of interrupt the service, or it's time for prophecy, and they give that long old prophetic tongue, you know, shun that about him, whatever. And then there's like, if cricket is in the room because everyone's waiting for the interpretation, he's basically saying, Paul's saying, let everything be done decently and in order. If you just give out tongues and there's no interpretation, there's nobody that can interpret it, people are going to think that you are crazy. However, if you can give the message in tongues and then interpret, that equals prophecy. If Kenneth Hagin used to say, the speaking out in tongues was like a nickel, the interpretation of tongues is like another nickel. Together they make a dime, which is prophecy. Okay, so together, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, but if you prophesy, the hearts of the people will be disclosed, and they will say, the Lord is among you. So it's very important. But now this is the context of that this is talking about. But then it says, so go ahead, two or three prophets, go ahead and speak and let the others judge. So that's word others. You know, the word others, who are you talking about? And that's a big dilemma right now. I've been invited to be on another prophetic forum, and we're going to talk about, well, who are the people that are supposed to be judging? You know, because it says here, let the others judge. Who are those others? And I've given an answer to a couple of people before I've gone on. And basically, I believe it's, and we're going to find out regarding judging prophecy, it's people who know how to discern, number one, the Spirit of God based on the Bible. And it can be somebody who is a prophet, or it can be somebody who just simply has Holy Spirit within them. And they're like, I don't bear witness with that. That doesn't go by the Bible. But it does need to be somebody who is acquainted with the scriptures and knows how to discern what is Holy Spirit. Is that Holy Spirit speaking through that person? Because Paul had to be very careful, and the people in the Corinthian church had to be careful that people that were idol worshipers didn't come and carry some foreign spirit into their meetings, okay? So it says two to three prophets speak and then let the others judge. So the others can be not only prophets, but it can be people that are learned leaders in the church or people that have a sphere of authority to be able to say, you know what, you kind of missed it there. And even recently, I've seen people where the word was good, but the spirit was off. There's other people recently I've heard that the spirit was really tender and humble, but the word wasn't so great, okay? So we need to discern. And now listen, as some of the prophets are saying, well, you can't judge what I'm saying because you're not a prophet. You haven't spent time with God like I have. These are quotes, by the way. You haven't spent time with God like I have. So you can't tell me that what I'm saying is not from the Lord because you don't qualify, because you don't, in fact, quote, you don't have the same walk with God that I have. Now, I find that problematic because we have Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. Mm-hmm. And we need to learn to discern what Spirit of God is saying to us. Now, it says that the others judge. That word judge means to be discriminate, to decide, to try, to be able to kind of draw truth from it. What of that was the Spirit of God and what of it wasn't? Okay. Do you feel the love of the Father in that word? Christy and I listened to a word the other day, a couple of months ago, actually, now, that has been watched probably by a million people, and people are eating it like it's candy. And it was so grievous because of the judgment and the condemnation that was being released through it. And it was such a mixture. And in some respects, it even was like, wow, this is not good. This is not the Spirit of my Father. My Father is not condemning the rest of the body of Christ because they don't believe this particular one prophecy. And so when you're basing people's salvation on whether or not people believe a particular prophecy, that's not the New Testament, okay? We're saved by faith through grace of Jesus Christ, not because we believe a particular prophet's prophecy, okay? I'm not going to go into all of it right now, but remember, the Lord has called me to kind of talk about the fruit. And the fruit that I'm seeing in the prophetic movement right now is division, delusion, destruction, dependency upon prophets above God, and a desire to hear other people and prophets above God. Now, I love all the prophets, thank God for them, but I am seeing fruit that is extremely divisive in the body of Christ. That doesn't mean they're necessarily false prophets, but it does mean that we need to begin to hear Holy Spirit for ourselves. Did I feel condemned and criticized when I was told I'm not part of the remnant? Did I feel condemned and criticized that I'm now being told that I'm part of the deep state? Did I feel condemned and criticized when I was told that I was under judgment and now I'm being under a curse and that I would not have the reward from the Lord? Am I feeling condemned and criticized when I'm now being told I'm part of the left and I'm part of the judgment that's coming on America? Now, I'm telling you quotes from prophets that I have received from for decades, but I am telling you I'm not feeling the Spirit of my Father through some of them. I'm not talking about the prophecy itself. Let the will of the Lord be done. But when you start criticizing and condemning the rest of the body of Christ because people aren't agreeing with everything you're saying, and now you're going to start telling the rest of the body of Christ that you're not saved, you're not part of the remnant, because you don't believe this particular prophecy that doesn't look like it happened, this is problematic. And it's causing people to withdraw from the prophetic movement. It's causing people to turn off and turn down and shut down the prophets, and it's causing a lot of problems. Now, I love how Patricia King said that the Lord's will is that to kind of take the different streams of truth and bring them back together in a reformed, beautiful tapestry of a stronger prophetic community going forward. And I believe that's what the Lord's doing. And in fact, that's one of the purposes that I have going forward, not only to equip you to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself, but especially to be able to learn to discern. And I'm not saying that these people are weak at all. In fact, I'm not even talking about that right now. But it's like I was talking with David, and there's this prophetic thing in me, and I just want to fix it. I want to fix so many things right now. But the Lord said, keep loving, keep teaching the word. And in fact, and I'm not saying that these people are wheat at all. They are precious, precious men and women of God. But he said, even in his own heart, he said, let the tares grow up with the wheat. The way you're going to be able to tell the wheat in the last day is there's going to be a mark of humility. And so that's going to be another thing when we talk about judging prophecy and we talk about character. I'll just ask, where's the humility? I'm just going to throw it out there for you. Where is the humility? This is something I have to ask myself every day. David and I have talked about this. Pride is such an insidious thing. And when you couple that in the prophetic movement, especially when you're trying to get people to follow you, it's insidious and you don't know you haven't. So David and I kind of keep each other accountable. Am I in pride? Am I in error? I wake him up in the middle of the night because sometimes I'm so sad about something or so grieved about something I've heard. And I'm like, honey, am I missing it? Is there something wrong with me? And he just reaches over to me and he says, honey, your knower is not broken. Okay. So, and we're not perfect in these things. We continue to ask the Lord to forgive us, shine his light on us, but we are to judge all prophecy. Tonight, we're talking about judging prophecy. Next week, if we finish with this, I want to start talking about the office of a prophet, because before we start talking about immature prophets or immature prophecy, I want us to have a foundation of true prophets. Okay. So this week and until we finish this, we're talking about judging prophecy. Mm-hmm. Yes, Paige.
Okay. Jenny, I have a question. You just said that you made the reference that do some people actually feel like they have to follow the prophets? Is there a group of people that don't know how to discern, or they just think because everybody's saying something that they should follow it?
That's a good question, Faye. Right now, yes, and I will not mention names because, again, these are people I love. They're not in my sphere of authority. These are true prophets that, for some reason, have latched onto a prophetic word, and they basically will not let it go, or they will not let go of the timeline. And when we talk about prophecy and judging prophecy, not everything is specifically in a timeline. Prophecy, you can put a pause on it, and then it can be fulfilled 200 years later or something. But some prophets said some prophecies, and they put a specific date on it. And then they moved the date, and then they moved the date again. So we had, you know, a December, a really good December. We were going to have a great December, a great Christmas. Then we were going to have a January of justice, and then we were going to have a February to remember. Then we were going to have a March of miracles, and now April is now the timeline. And I don't have a problem so much with the prophecy, although, you know, that's between them and the Lord. That's not my revelation, particularly in the way they're saying it. But because they set a specific date, and have moved the date again and again and again and again, they have, there's a concern with the rest of the body of Christ. And so as several of them are saying, and again, I'm quoting to you things I've heard myself. Several of them are saying, in fact, more than several of them are saying, many of them repented and are just trying to rebuild the body of Christ and minister to the body of Christ. There are some that are saying, I won't back down. This is happening. It is happening now. And in fact, one of them said it's actually happening and we just don't see it. Kind of like there's this invisible reality out there somewhere. So my point is, many of these prophets are losing credibility because the concern is not so much the prophecy itself, not happening again and again and again and again, because there's dates attached to it. And I'm talking specifically about those dates and details, but because now what's happening is they are saying, one particular, like I said, there are at least five of them. They're calling pastors lily livered. They're saying, if you don't believe this, you're in judgment. They're saying, and I could quote them and I could say names and I won't do it because they are the Lord's servants. These are prophets that have had decades of accuracy. But the concern I'm having now is the mudslinging. One particular one who was really gracious for over 6 months now, extremely gracious. Listen, you don't have to believe this. If you don't believe it, don't worry. God's going to do it anyway. And I'm like, well, praise the Lord. At least I'm off the hook with this one. I'm not going to have, you know, rocks thrown at me with this one. But then just last week, he was like, if you don't believe this, you are part of the deep state. And I'm like, you know, most people, like, the point is that, yes, Faye, there is a stream of prophets that are all clustering together right now. There's about 10 of them and that I'm aware of. And they are saying, if you don't believe this prophecy, if you even acknowledge other things, The point is that you are under judgment. You're not part of the remnant. You are under a curse. You're part of the deep state. Some of them that I really love, you're not part of the faith remnant. And when judgment comes to the people that are part of this deep state, which is really supposed to be something horrible, which I understand, then you are going to be judged with that. And so time and time and time again, it's not just the prophecy that I'm concerned about. It's the criticism and the judgment against the rest of the body of Christ. If you don't believe that particular prophecy with that particular detail, which, by the way, did not happen, but now it's being very spiritualized, which I'm fine with. They should have just said it right out. Listen, this isn't going to happen physically. It's going to happen spiritually. So don't worry about it happening during this date time. But it's been one missed date after another. And so when there's a consistency of missing it and missing it and missing it for months after months after months after months, and now if you don't believe the truth of what they're saying, now you are under a curse and under judgment. That's causing division in the body of Christ, okay? So these are things we need to think about, okay? And these are corrections that need to happen, because I'm going to tell you, the number one job of New Testament prophecy is to edify, encourage, and build up. Let everything be done. Let everything be done for the use of edifying. In fact, the Bible says not to do anything unless it's building up the body of Christ.
Amen.
And now they're saying, if you're on the left, by the way, and I'm talking politically, you's going to hell. Now, you know how many Democrats love Jesus? They just don't see things the way some others do. Okay, their way into the kingdom is through more justice issues. So I'm just being really bold out there with you. I'm not throwing, please do not throw the baby out with the bathwater, but be aware that God is simply dealing with the heart of things, okay? I have been told personally, I'm on the left. I've had people, I've been told three times now that I'm some part of some kind of whatever. I mean, I don't even know exactly, like I wasn't sure what they were talking about. And so the things I'm talking to you about have been my own experiences, okay? Now, I'm not trying to look for bad fruit, but when the bad fruit is literally being thrown at you and it hurts, I've had friends distance themselves from me. I've lost ministry dates because I didn't believe that, well, I'll just tell you what they were teaching, okay, what they were saying. They were saying, well, I don't even want to go there. It was so ludicrous. I'm like, what planet are you living on? Do you not even, my concern was that what they believed was so ludicrous that it wasn't even based in reality. It was completely not true. And so I didn't believe what they were saying. And I said, I just don't see that. You know, in fact, I'll just tell you what they said. I'm just going to tell you. If you all come back next week, please forgive me. This is part of the dialogue. This is part of the discussion. And this is part of how we've got to learn to get back together. Okay. So if we can agree to disagree, we're going to grow up in Jesus. So let's agree to disagree. Okay. We don't have to agree with everything. We don't have to see everything the same. But I was invited to be on a gathering of prophets. And the person I was going to be with, they had invited me. I was like, yeah, this is going to be great because I love ministering to people. But when they found out that I did not believe something particular about our country at this point, they distanced themselves and they said, I don't want to talk to you. And they retracted their invitation, you know. So anyway, they felt like, and I'll tell you right out, they did believe that the military was in charge of the United States of America. And I said, you know, if the military is in charge, then who's running the United States? And they didn't have an answer for that. But when they found out I didn't believe that, because that's just not bearing witness with my heart, and I actually don't see that as truth, they distanced themselves from me and didn't want anything to do with me. And so I've had this happen time and time and time again. And so I am sharing from a heart that's been broken in the prophetic. So please, take everything I'm saying with a grain of salt, okay? Do you understand? But learn from my experience and then apply the truth of whatever God is telling you personally. Because this is the point. What is Holy Spirit telling you? Do you feel loved by God? Have you felt the voice of the Father in that? Do you feel confirmed? Do you know that the number one job of prophecy, I know I told you this, is to build up edification? He that prophesies edification, exhortation, and comfort. When I walk away from that video stream and I'm being told, because I didn't believe this particular thing on that particular timeline, that I'm no longer saved, it's a real concern to me, because there's so much division and criticism out there if you don't believe it the way they are saying it, right? So what's really interesting is their ministries are a lot of people, because they want so badly what they're prophesying, many of their ministries is really growing. And again, I'm not saying they're false prophets. I'm saying that we need to kind of talk about these things.